Then from there we said, well, let's basically allow people to subscribe to a whole team of people. And that caught on really well at the very beginning.
This is another episode of the Automate and Grow podcast. My guest today is Bruce Rowley from RSM Marketing. Bruce is based in Wichita, Kansas, and he has the distinction and the experience of being on the Inc. 5000. So we're looking forward to talking to you, Bruce.
Thanks.
So, Bruce, one thing I usually like to start with is, you know, what's the big problem in the world that you decide to solve? Like, why did you start RSM Marketing?
We started it because we saw two things happening in the world. When we started it, almost all of the marketing people, it seemed like, had been let go at the bottom of the recession that was 2010. And we knew tons of business owners who were
maybe building owners too.
Yeah, sure, that's right. They were thinking about getting back into marketing and sales, but they were really worried about making the investment. They didn't want to hire people. And a lot of people that I knew were asking me, hey, can I hire like part of you or somebody else to help me? Because I'm not ready to commit. And so we first had the idea of, well, let's start selling basically fractional marketing directors. And then from there, we said, well, let's sell people. Let's basically allow people to subscribe to a whole team of people. And that caught on really well at the very beginning. And the interesting thing was what happened next, which was even when the economy turned back around and started to grow again, people didn't hire more marketing people. They kept working with us. And then the other thing that we discovered were all of these companies that were overwhelmed by the complexity of marketing today. You know, you talk a lot about automate and grow, and that's not, I mean, it's easy to say, it's really, right, really, really hard to do.
A lot of moving pieces, right?
Yeah, and they all have to fit together, and it affects almost every kind of business. You know, we think about marketing typically as being a consumer-based business, generally, you know, fast-moving consumer goods, things like that. But as we started to talk to businesses that were traditionally not living in the marketing space, you know, other than having a trade show once a year and some business cards, mm-hmm, and, you know, maybe they had a leaflet or some sales sheets, they found themselves either interested in the idea of marketing to get an advantage, or more often they found themselves potentially the victim of somebody else in their space who was changing the rules, you know, and they wanted to figure out how to do that, but they didn't know where to start. They didn't want to hire a marketing director and a bunch of marketing people and then have to figure out something that they didn't really understand. So what we've done is made that whole process really, really easy for these companies to hire us on a flat subscription basis. We call it an outsourced marketing department, and we work. Most 80% of our clients have a marketing director. They don't have marketing people. We work directly with the CEO, the COO, the CFO, director of sales, create that is what I like to call. I mean, you call it automation. I always say, look, we're building you a sales machine that we eventually.
You're breaking up. Bummer. Still there, Bruce?
You know, you should not have to. And we're frozen.
Yeah, sorry. You've been frozen for a little bit here. I'm not sure what's going on. You think it's on my end or your end?
I don't know. I'll say it's my end.
Yeah, because I mean, I can see me obviously, but your side was freezing during the last part that you were. I'm trying to
think. Do you need me to do video?
Do you think it's a problem with bandwidth or?
Could be.
Do you want me to turn mine off and see if that helps?
I can switch to my phone.
You seem fine right now. Don't talk too much. No. Okay. I think where we left off, you were talking about how you know, people don't want to take the risk hiring full-time resources. And then we got through the part where you're talking about how you have fractional resources. And then he kind of froze just near the last like 20, 30 seconds from prior to this.
Well, the interesting thing is after we came out of the recession, we started to talk to lots and lots of companies that had not been in the marketing space before, but now they realize that they needed to be, because the idea of just doing it the old fashioned way was going away really quickly. And they were, a lot of them, finding themselves being really threatened by new companies or companies that were, that had adapted early to automation and marketing, mm-hmm. and they were seeing themselves under threat. And a lot of those people ended up talking to us saying, how do I get this done? I don't understand it at all. And so we work, probably 80% of our customers don't have any marketing people. They have no marketing director. They have no CMO. We provide them a fractional marketing director and an entire team. And our fractional marketing director will meet weekly or every other week with the CEO or the CFO or the COO or the director of sales for these companies and basically try to figure out, okay, let's talk about what your goals are. Let's figure out what we're doing. And then they will make the recommendations and then execute those recommendations with our team. And we charge a flat subscription fee for that, because that's the part that the CFO really loves, because if we can flatten that cost out,
oh sure,
you know, it helps them from a cash flow and cash management standpoint, and that's worked out. That's been an interesting twist to our business over the last few years. And so I think the problem that we solve is marketing complexity that now engulfs and is a must have for businesses that in the past had no marketing function whatsoever.
What type of companies are you typically working with, or is it a range?
Man, it's such a range. You know, they range from single person to, you know, massive companies with thousands of employees.
Wow. Okay.
It really comes down to, are they a business that want to have marketing or have seen marketing as a core function in the growth of their business? So we work with a lot of different companies, manufacturing companies that traditionally maybe didn't have any marketing, but now not only do they have to have it, it has to be this marketing automation that has to all fit together. You know, so you find yourself in there talking with somebody about SEO and how we're going to connect, these warm leads into a drip system that's eventually going to trigger.
They're just like, whoa.
and they know what I'm talking about, but yeah.
There's no way to operationalize it.
How the heck am I going to do that? And we just say, well, that's what we're going to do.
So when you're talking to a potential founder, are they usually coming to you with a problem, or like what's motivated them to chat with you?
Yeah, there's really like I'd say three typical scenarios. It's a great question, Michael, because the three are, one, maybe they had a marketing director and they lose their marketing director. And now they think, well, do we really want to hire another marketing director? Maybe we talk to these guys and for basically the same amount of money, we could get a marketing director plus all the other stuff done. Because there are a lot of companies that then kind of, maybe they were figuring out, gee, we employed 100% of a marketing director, but were they really, need 100% of a director, or do we need like 30% of a director and then a whole bunch of people
right
doing all the work? So that's one. And then the other is there's some trigger, and usually that trigger is either a competitor that has started to nibble away, or worse, at their business, at their share, at their margin, and they feel it. And they're trying to, and they can see what's happening, but they don't, and there's a sense of urgency to make it stop. Those people arrive with a very specific goal. And then the third is companies that perhaps they're introducing a new product line or a new service line, and they're getting into something new where they understand that they have the opportunity to start that new business or product line, start it off right by building this kind of marketing machinery around it from day one, as opposed to trying to embed it into a moving, you know, business or a moving product line, which can be trickier.
For sure. So do you usually come in and are you focused mainly on developing marketing qualified leads? Are you involved in the product marketing aspect? Like which kind of your focus typically?
You know, our focus is absolutely going to be around how do we create what I would call a warm lead system for them. And perhaps it can go all the way to a sales conversion. But, you know, you can apply this to just about anything. You know, mm-hmm. Early on, we started working with a hospital that runs emergency rooms.
Oh, wow.
And we built an online check-in system that doesn't really check people in. And we were clear to say this, basically, it's a consumer's way of telling the ER that they're on the way. But because it's an ER, the triage system means, you come in with a bloody nose, another person comes in with a heart attack, you're going to wait. You know,
right. That makes sense. But for you, you're collecting data and you're bringing
loyalty. What we find is people were willing to drive farther to go to an ER that knew they were coming rather than, just show up and hope for the best at an ER that didn't know they were coming. So the client said, well, gee, you know, I guess we're willing to take this risk. In the end, it did multiple things. One, we got all this data. Two, we grew market share dramatically over the next 2 years. And three, guess what else happened? SEO. All of a sudden, their SEO ranking went through the roof, and we were actually able to build almost an SEO roadblock over their competitor because we had, multiple pages, not just one page. Number two, Google was able to see all those conversions, all that engagement that was happening on the page, and they, reading that as, this is the place I want to send people.
That's really interesting. So is your approach consistent, or are you relying upon more your experience to understand the business? Like how does it look? Like if someone engages you, like what's that experience like?
Well, I always start with what do we want? What are we trying to make happen here? And of course the easy answer is, well, we're trying to make sales grow. Okay. But what does that look like specifically? We're trying to do a very difficult thing here, which is create a human action somewhere in the world. We're trying to make something happen. So what is that? Are we trying to get somebody to click buy now? Are we trying to get somebody to call? Are we trying to get somebody to chat? Are we trying to get somebody to send in a warm lead form? All of the above? Are we just trying to get somebody to check in and say they're on the way? I mean, what is the thing we're trying to do? And let's make sure and then build it back from there to try and understand how we can do that.
So in your own business, like you've obviously in the past, well, still experienced a lot of growth. Like what do you think the key to that has been?
You know, we love what we do. And we love, our team loves it. There's nothing better than watching a client achieve their goals and being a part of that win. And our team is addicted to it. It's so exciting to every week be a part of multiple victories that clients are having, and you know, we're their partner, and they share that with us. And you know, one of the things that in one of our marketing pieces for ourselves says, you know, we're going to care about your business more than is probably healthy. So
that's an interesting way to put it. At the expense of my own mental sanity, I'm going to care about your business more than
well. And that brings me to the only kind of client we won't take.
Okay. Bad client.
I can't care more about your business than you do.
That's interesting. Because I think that's a problem, right? When you're dealing with someone that just wants a result, but they're not ambitious right. enough to make it happen, right? Now, I guess there's always a knowledge gap or a skill gap, and that's hopefully why they're connecting with you. But if there's like an ambitious gap, you've got a problem.
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, we don't take on government work. I don't I don't work with organizations where they're just trying to spend a budget because they have to.
Interesting.
You know, that's what I mean by like, you have to care.
Right.
You know, in fact, our logo is an anvil because
illusion.
We, you know, it's sharp and do to push back because did I lose you?
I'm back. I took my video off just for a sec because it's cutting out for some reason.
So, you know, we want to push our clients and we want them to push back. And I tell clients, if I'm pushing you, it's because I want you to push back just as hard because we're going to make this effort sharper for.
What is going on with this?
And are excited, and frankly, that's what's led us to grow and grow and grow. We added more than double the number of new clients this year than we did last year, and I've already set the goals for next year that we're going to double that yet again next year for sure.
Oh, that's amazing. So you know, we kind of danced or mentioned a couple of things around the complexity of marketing, and it's a you know, there's always been messaging and positioning and product, but I think that a couple of the X factors are new platforms, new digital mediums and technologies. Like what are one or two things that first of all have been key to you helping your customers and then maybe even your own growth?
Well, so it's a great question. So one of the first things is getting people to focus on what's the most important, highest value things that we can do right now, not just in terms of tactics, but I want to get into with a client understanding where's the area with the highest margin and the biggest potential upside, because let's focus right away on that. If we're going to spend time on your business, let's start with the richest possible hours that we can spend. So I want to try and get them to focus on that. And oftentimes that's not what they called us about.
Interesting.
They're calling us about something else and we have to get them focused over there. And then the second thing is just making sure that, you know, the first couple of weeks for us is usually really making sure that the basic blocking and tackling of all these disparate marketing pieces that are out there from your, you know, stupid free stuff, like it's not stupid, but like basic stuff like Google My Business. Are you on Maps? Are you know, we still run into people who aren't doing that because they say, I don't really care. Nobody's going to come visit. I don't want people to come to visit me. Well, you still, you know, you kind of need to have those pieces activated out there. Are you, you know, your email, are you segmenting your audiences in email? Some things that we would these days we would probably consider that basic blocking and tackling that a lot of businesses, you know, they've got some of it together but not all of it. And to your point, and certainly everything that you cover in your books and everything else that you do, having it all stitched together the right way. In order to do that, you got to start with all the basics that are actually working for you and they're updated and you understand that they're in good shape.
What's one of your favorite tools that's out there that you employ?
Wow.
It sounds like you have a lot of experience, by the way, I guess in Google local search, SEO. Do you play in any other arenas? And that might relate to the tools you use, I guess.
Well, you know, depending on the kind of client, for a retail client or a client that's looking for conversion, you know, this probably won't be shocking to you. I think that from the day they announced it, I think that the YouTube bumper ads, their 6-second bumper ads that they run, they're an incredible value. We're able to use those really effectively with a lot of clients as a part of remarketing, and as a part of just augmenting the other things that they're doing. They're so inexpensive. Mm-hmm. And they force you, because they're 6 seconds, they force you to focus that message right down. And so they've been around for a couple of years, but I'm still a huge fan of making sure that they're a part of a lot of our clients' plans. And they're inexpensive, so they get overlooked a lot of times, because it's like, you can put $1,000 on those nationwide and you've got huge numbers.
That's interesting. So, and are you finding, is it just B2C type businesses that are using that? Have you had success with that with B2B?
No, we've had B2B success. I mean, in a B2B, we're obviously going to be using, it takes a little time. We'll start with using it as part of a remarketing program. So, you know, if somebody's getting a lot of traffic on their website, we'll then, through maybe some other tactics that we're doing, we'll then remarket to those people with YouTube, specifically with something like these bumper ads. But doing that over time, we can then start to replicate and expand that audience using the AI tools that are available. We can start to grow that audience into other potential customers. And we've had great success with that. And of course, with B2B, your transaction size is often so much larger.
Right.
You're not trying to get 10,000 conversions. You know, you could get 2 in a month. Mm-hmm. And these might be substantial, you know, meaningful to somebody's business.
So it's interesting, because I think a lot of businesses and most businesses don't understand some of the tools that you're mentioning, like, for example, remarketing alone, where, you know, let's say they'll spend money on Google AdWords, send it to their website. Their website has no call to action. Their website has no, offers to get opt-in. And so the person going to that website remains anonymous and they just disappear. So it's interesting that you're using tactics like remarketing, where you're using, you know, tools from YouTube or tools from other platforms, so that when they leave that website, then they're seeing your ads somewhere.
Well, you know, you bring up a good point, and one of the things that I tell clients all the time is, and this goes back to those, you know, building your basic blocking and tackling. Do you have calls to action? You know, not everyone wants to fill out a contact us form. Mm-hmm. Do you have chat? You know, well, we have email. Okay, but not everybody likes email. Here's an idea. You could have chat and email. You know, give people a choice to engage with you in the way that they're most familiar and most comfortable with. And it's a pain, I understand, because on the client side, they're like, well, now I gotta talk to people on the phone, on email, on chat. You know, and my answer to that is, well, do you want to talk to more people or not? I mean,
it's like, do you care about what the method is?
I mean, this is going to take, I didn't say it was going to be easy. It's going to take a little bit more work, but, you know, give people those choices and they will take them.
Very true. So I think you're highlighting the complexity that can happen with marketing. And it sounds like you've been able to build a really successful high growth business by being a trusted resource to companies that just don't know the answers and want someone to execute for them. And
that seems I think that's a good description of what we do. I'm gonna have to write that down, Michael.
Well, it's recorded, so it's even better. You can go back and listen to it. Bruce, I really enjoyed speaking with you. I want to be conscious of your time, so I'm going to wrap with a couple things here. First, is there anything that we haven't touched on that you think that we should?
Wow. No, I mean, I you know, we could just go on for days, but I mean, we've covered the basics here, and I think for people that are looking at and asking them that question, how do I do this? You know, I read Michael's books, I listen to these podcasts, and all these people tell me all these things, and I agree with all of them, but I don't know how to do any of them, and I just don't know where to start. That's the biggest issue that we often run into. And, you know, that's the moment that we often engage with people. And so I think we've covered a lot of the basics, and for a lot of people, that'll make a tangible difference in their business right away.
If people want to get in touch with you, what's the best way for them to do that?
Well, you know, they can find us at rsmconnect.com, and when they get there, they'll note that they can chat us, they can call us, they can send us an email. We're certainly open to all of those things, and we like to make it very easy. I think people are always amazed when they say, well, how long does it take? And we say, well, you know, give us a 30, 45 minute conversation up front, and then usually we're able to give you a proposal the next day. And then we can talk about it, you know, whether that works for you. And if it does, then we schedule a kickoff meeting the very next week.
That's terrific. Okay, so I'm going to wrap with two questions. One is, how are you, Bruce, changing the world?
Well, I hate that question.
I've never said that. Like, wow, that's a really
good question. Are you in Silicon Valley or something?
I'm not. I'll go there if I'm allowed.
No, I'm sorry. It's a Silicon Valley joke, right?
Is it?
But
from the TV show. Oh, yeah. Cool.
Yeah. Anyway, no. The sad thing is, we actually do have the answer to that, and that is, we see it as our mission to bring these businesses that are not predisposed to think about and engage in marketing, and you know, these businesses, they have employees. Those employees have families. So we pay a lot of attention here to the fact that we are bringing a lot of these businesses into a more competitive position, bringing them into the modern world of marketing automation and scalable marketing growth in a way that they may not have gotten there. And in doing that, we help these businesses, you know, grow, and we help them hire more people, and we help their current employees and their families be more successful, and the communities that they operate in be more successful. And so we love that. That's our mission.
That's amazing. All right. Well, we'll wrap with one final thing, which is, when we have interesting guests on the podcast, we like you to nominate other interesting guests. We typically talk to experts or entrepreneurs. And who would you, Bruce, like to nominate as a future guest of the Automate and Grow podcast?
Wow. I was not prepared for this.
Never are. Unless they actually watch the podcast.
Well, we work with some really interesting people. We work with a company right now out of San Diego that is making it possible to track your water use through your mobile phone. So if you have a water leak, if you know you have a water break, you can actually see that on your phone. You can track your water use. Water usage is really important in California. This company has a product that is phenomenal. And they are truly changing the world by helping people and communities track and conserve their water. So I'm gonna recommend Kevin Simons.
Kevin Simons. So what was the name of the company? Kevin Simons. The
company is phenomenal.
Mm-hmm. Sorry, what was the name of the company? It cut out.
It's Kevin Simons. Of course.
Why is it cutting out? Yes.
Kevin Simons from Subeca.
Subeca?
Uh-huh. Terrific. F-U-B-E-C-A.
Terrific. Okay, Kevin, you have been nominated by Bruce to be a future guest on the Automate and Grow podcast. We will accept that. We look forward to that introduction. Bruce, right. Thank you so much for your time today. I really appreciate you joining.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Absolutely. All the best to you in your sunny 70-degree weather.
84.
84. Okay.
This has been another episode of the Automate and Grow podcast from sunny California this time. We will see you on another episode of Automate and Grow.